T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With the 22nd pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel, quarterback, Texas A&M.
This is better than the movie Draft Day, I'm telling you. I like the fact Cleveland came back up and got the young quarterback.
Worked out well, if you ask me. Oh, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 the game. Johnny Manziel. That was just a couple years ago. Coming out with the money signs, everyone going nuts. Yeah.
Cleveland was happy. They were fired up when the fans went crazy. Got Johnny.
Cleveland.
Wow.
And that leads us into the biggest story happening in the NFL at the moment. Cleveland, who has been on the clock for months now. I mean, we're talking months. You would figure that, how long do you plan, Anna, generally for a wedding? How long did you and your husband plan for your wedding?
We were long. We were about a year and a half. But traditionally, it's between like 9 months to a year.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
The night before the wedding, did you feel as if you had the venue secure, that you knew where you were going to get married? That's crazy, because the Browns don't have the venue secure at all. The Browns are getting married tomorrow. They've been planning the wedding for a year. They don't even know if the bride's going to show up. They don't know if they have the church. No one knows what's on the menu. And here's the latest. From Adam Schefter of ESPN last night, and this sent people into a frenzy. Quote, I continue to hear that Mitchell Trubisky is square in consideration and may turn out to be the number one pick. Now, I know everyone thinks Myles Garrett's going to be the pick, and I will not be surprised if that's the case. But I have got very smart, very well-connected people telling me over the last 24 hours that they think Trubisky's going to be the number one pick. Hint, hint, for those of you who may or may not like a little action, there are several bets out there offering ridiculously favorable odds for Trubisky at one, for Garrett at two, for a complete flip, because this was supposed to be a done deal. Myles Garrett, the pass rusher from A&M, going one overall. Here we are on draft day. It feels as if there's a divide in the building. And Schefter's no slouch. This is probably the best NFL reporter in the business, and he hates to be wrong. Lo, what do you think is going on in Cleveland at the moment? I think we're past the point where it's smoke screens, right?
I'm absolutely. You asked me, what do I think's going on? I have no clue. Hey, when you came in this morning and we started talking about this, and after we were laying it out, I'm absolutely taken back. I don't see possible. Is it possible? Yeah, and I said it wasn't probable that Mitchell Trubisky will be the first overall pick. But then if Schefter is not going to just put his name out there and just start saying, okay, it's going to be this guy. For what? For who? He's got nothing to gain. This guy's very detailed in everything that he gets out because he wants to make sure he's got a name for himself and he wants to keep his reputation. He's a guy that goes in. He knows GMs. He knows head coaches. That's why he's the first guy to break in. He's an insider. So this, to me, it's crazy, though. I just don't understand it. If they make this pick, I'll be very shocked, but it seems like it's going to happen.
What's most intriguing is that Schefter, this isn't the first time he said this. He's been saying for weeks, he's the guy that's been reporting, look, Trubisky's very much in play. Stop assuming it's Garrett. Stop assuming it's Garrett. And then this bomb comes out last night, followed by the release of the mock draft of Bob McGinn from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, most people might not know who Bob is. He's been covering the NFL at a very high level for decades. Bob McGinn is extremely well-respected. Doesn't mean he's going to go 100% on his mock draft, but he released his mock last night. Trubisky, number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. Here's another report. Michael Lombardi, currently with the Ringer, former NFL personnel man with the Raiders, the Browns, the Niners back in the day. He worked under Bill Walsh in the 80s. Friend of mine, love the dude. He was on Twitter yesterday saying that yesterday the Browns were having discussions with teams about the 12th overall pick, which they also own. Doesn't sound like a surprise, right? We've been hearing for a month that the Browns are trying to trade up from 12. Only the report from Lombardi is that the Browns have been calling teams behind them saying that they're open for business at 12, they're willing to move back, they're already locked up at 1. If you know what you're doing at 1 and it's not a quarterback, you're not trying to trade back from 12. You're trying to come back up to get a QB. So, Dibs, is Cleveland getting ready to Cleveland this draft?
It looks like it. And, then, you know, we were talking about this pre-show, and then hearing you lay it out right now, it seems like Cleveland is going in that direction. I just can't believe it, because not only is he not the best player in the draft, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I think Deshaun Watson, at the end of the day, will have a better career than Mitchell Trubisky will. And also, I think that Myles Garrett is more of a can't-miss prospect, despite criticisms that have come out about the player. I think that he's the guy you should take at 1, and the fact that the Browns look like they're not going to do that and go with Trubisky, I think it's another huge mistake.
I'll tell you right now, if I'm any GM, if I said, Dave said, hello, I'm going to let you be the GM, and I want you to get me a for sure guy that you think is going to play for me for the next 10 years and give me solid play. Not he's going to be a Pro Bowler out of those 10 years, maybe 3 or 4 times. He's going to have a solid career. He's not going to get in trouble, but he's going to do his job. And you know that you said, this guy is a centerpiece of my team for years. It's simple. I would go with Solomon Wilcox. I don't know why that Solomon, this kid from Stanford.
Stanford's defensive tackle.
Absolutely. If you told me, give me a guy in this draft that you just feel that you can't miss, that's going to be a blue collar, that's going to work hard, that's going to be an all-pro, that's going to get things done, I would take Solomon.
I got your ass on that North Carolina game he played, and since then you have loved this kid.
You have
done all your research on him, and you love watching him play football.
I love watching him play, Joe.
I love hearing that because you know it better than anybody else.
Because he can play the three. You can put him on the guard.
Three technique for those listening means
right between the center and the guard, right in that little hole right there, playing right over the nose, right between the guard and the center. Then he can go out and play the five over the tackle. And head up, and he can play a wide 9 that is on the edge. So he can play all down your defensive front.
Versatile is what you're saying.
He's very versatile defensive lineman, and you don't usually get that. Usually the three, he's right there as a run stopper. He's just right there as a gap stopper. But this guy can put some pressure on the quarterback. He's not an elite rusher, but he can move the pile. You can line him up over a tackle. He's like a J.J. Watt, but not that motor, but he's strong. He's physical. He, to me, is the for sure can't miss. If you said that's the guy that I love out of this draft.
If you're John Lynch, you have got to be drooling right now at this news. Because if the Browns go out and draft Trubisky, and that move would be the owner, Jimmy Haslam, saying, I want the kid from Cleveland, I want the quarterback. Because football ops does not want Trubisky. Football ops wants to go Garrett and then maybe try to get Trubisky. They don't want him number one.
No.
So this is an internal strife right now with the owner, probably at the 11th hour, telling everyone what he wants. That's why Cleveland is Cleveland. But if they make that move, the Niners are now sitting in position to A, draft Myles Garrett, or B, open up the phones once again to say, who wants Garrett? Come on up. Someone probably loves that kid enough to realize, holy crap, he just fell to 2. Let's make a play. And you know what you do if you're the Niners by stocking those picks? You build your arsenal so that next year you can put yourself in position to be the number one overall pick to draft Sam Darnold, quarterback USC. Think long term. You can trade back. You can still get yourself a starter. Kid that can be around for quite some time. It's a long rebuild. Put yourself in position for the best quarterback next year, because Darnold is going to be better than any quarterback in this year's draft class.
And the class next year, if I'm not mistaken, is deeper quarterback-wise than this one is as well. So you know you're more than one quarterback away from being a legitimate team again. So stockpile. And if you go back from 2, if Myles Garrett falls to you, you could take him at 2, but why not move back to maybe 9 and 23 or however many more picks you can get, because this draft is deep enough outside of quarterback that you can add 4, 5, maybe 6 legitimate impact guys.
I'd like to say I can't believe it that Cleveland is here after all these months and they still don't know what they're going to do, but it's Cleveland. It shouldn't surprise you one bit. I still think my prediction is going to hold. The clock's going to run out before they turn in the card and they're going to lose it. And the Niners will get the number one overall pick.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in, 95.7 The Game. Since we are just a few hours away from the start of the 2017 NFL Draft, which tonight, by the way, our coverage begins. It's the great Greg Papa, it's Bonte Hill, and it's myself. 3 p.m. to 6:45 p.m. right here, 95.7 The Game. We'll be at the Raiders Draft Party. Special guests like Lo Neal will be coming by. Can't wait to meet him. Heard he's great.
Big time get for you guys.
Yeah, that that took months of booking. A lot of money, a lot of backdoor connections were needed, but we got Lo Neal to come on. Sam Gash unavailable.
Larry Sanders dentist appointment.
Disappointment too. I'm out. Just like that.
Lo's like, forget this show.
Just for that?
I'm out like scouts.
Exactly, on a new route.
So we'll be on, that's very nice, 3 to 6:45. Then A's coverage will kick in. We will continue the program until about 8 on our stream. So you can stream us on the website, mainly because the Raider pick at 24 might not happen before we go off the air. So we got you covered. Now, to celebrate, we've got Lo Neal getting ready to tell us a couple big-time stories. But before we get to that, we've been playing up some big moments in draft history on today's show. We went with the Donovan McNabb pick in the last segment. We've got a few more in store throughout the day. For this segment, we figured we'd give you this one.
With the 89th pick of the 1993 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Lorenzo Neal, fullback, Fresno State.
Wow, that was surprising.
Todd.
Dynamic, hard hitting, huge upside, flying under the radar, no lap injuries, safe bet. You'd be hard pressed to tell me otherwise.
No lap injuries? Like from sitting on Santa's lap or something?
Wow, that was classic.
That's crazy.
Mel had a lot of nice things to say about you.
when they did the wow, because you guys, that's a great job, by the way. Thanks, Toad. You did a good job. When you guys did the wow, I thought it was going to be like, wow, that never happens to Lo Neal. I thought you guys had me getting jacked up.
No, it's one of those moments. Today's a day to celebrate.
That's why I'm just holding my breath like, okay, they're going to do me. What's in here? So I'm like, okay, what they got?
Wow.
24 years it's been since that day. Can you believe it?
No. That's what's crazy, brother. That's what's crazy. 24 years ago, I'm like, my God, I'm getting old.
It's wild. It's wild because I love to go back. Like, whenever you play one of these and you talk about a draft, I like to just go back and look at the draft and pick names. Ronald Moore taken right before you and David Ware taken right before you, but 7 picks before you. Out of Stanford, John Lynch.
Johnny.
Strong safety. Yeah. 7 picks before you in the same draft.
You know what's funny? And we did this once before about a year ago. We didn't do it on air, but if you're listening and you want to get involved, you can hit us on the text line 95795. If you went back to the 1993 draft, knowing what you know now, and you redrafted all the positions, where would Lo go? See, what was he overall? He was in the 4th round.
87th or something like that?
Somewhere 80, in the 80s, right?
89.
Yeah. 89.
You can make the case that if you go through that draft, knowing what you know now, Lowe's definitely top 10. The question is, how much higher do you go? Because there's a case to be made he might be a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Based on knowing you're going to get 16 years of Hall of Fame production.
Willie Roaf went 8th, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's a great pick.
The Bus went 10th, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So
that was a good pick.
Yeah, Garrison Hurst and Marvin Jones were top 4 guys.
Marvin Jones out of Florida State.
Yeah.
Play with me with the Jets. He was scary back then.
A Stubby, friend of the program. First round pick. He went 26th overall.
Stud.
Michael Strahan's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Strahan was in the same class as Lo.
Dude, we had a great class, bro.
I had no idea.
Studs.
I would have thought he was just a little bit younger.
And then you get down to Will Shields, who went.
I wasn't trying to make a joke. I would have assumed that he was a few years behind. I didn't.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I just would have assumed he wasn't as old as you.
So to your point,
it's not coming off friendly, but it's not meant to be rude.
Calling him old, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, when I go at him hard. There's no ambiguity here. There's a little ambiguity, is there not?
It is hard to believe that it's been 24 years.
It
24
really
years.
It really is. I'm very grateful that I'm still above ground. You know, you look at some of these guys in this draft, no longer here. I mean, but you see John Lynch in there. You see the big Willie Roaf. You know, we came in together. Irv Smith, Willie Roaf played with me with the Saints.
That's a good draft class for the Saints. They drafted Willie Roaf and Lorenzo Neal with 2 of their picks.
And Irv Smith, the tight end from Notre Dame, played like 10, 12 years.
And I forgot to mention.
Irv's a good name, an underrated name in my opinion. Irv
is good. Short for Irving.
That's if you ever saw the movie Great White Hype, Damon Wayans plays the boxer, the overweight boxer.
Yes.
He's got an entourage, and one of the guys in his entourage is named Irv. And whenever he gets mad, he goes, Irv, and Irv comes running up, and he just knocks him out, and it goes back to what he's doing. It's great. I digest.
I failed to mention Lincoln Kennedy.
Big Link.
Number 9 overall. Same draft, Big Link.
Was Bob Whitfield? We were in. It was a freaking hell of a class.
You know who I'm hoping joins us tomorrow? Matt Bowen, good friend of the program, played 7 years in the NFL, went to Iowa, was recruited as a quarterback, ended up being a safety, had some really great years with the Redskins. Bowen was the pick before Tom Brady.
That's right.
It's an awesome story. Bowen went one pick before Tom Brady.
He's awesome.
The guy. So, I don't know. It's always fun. We'll get him to tell that story because he actually told it to Sports Illustrated recently. They did a big thing on it like a month ago. It was pretty awesome. But we'll see if Bo joins us tomorrow. Obviously, cousin of the great Big Puma, who's trying to get down for the Andre Ward fight. I've been hearing too much from him lately. 95.7 The Game. In the last segment, Robert Klemko from the Monday Morning Quarterback came on. He has a fascinating piece up on the site called Dalvin Cook and the Stories Behind the Red Flags. Dalvin Cook is a well-regarded running back prospect coming out of Florida State. Some felt he was better than Leonard Fournette, but in the last couple months, his draft stock has slid. Klemko went behind the scenes to figure out why. Now, Cook has a couple of arrests from his middle school days on his record. There's some red flags there. But there's a runner who's been bad-mouthing him, trying to sabotage him behind the scenes. And that's got some teams giving even more pause to the situation. This piece is fascinating. It's going to take some time to read. It's long form, but it's tremendous work on Klemko's behalf. You mentioned how when you were coming out, you dealt with some runners before.
Sure.
A runner's a go-between between agents and players because an agent can't necessarily have contact with a player at a certain point, can't give him money, so the runner does the dirty work. He'll slip the cash to the player and try to steer him towards a big-time agent. Did you ever deal with this?
Yeah.
At Fresno State?
At Fresno State, Joe. It's interesting. People think, oh, you're not big enough, school doesn't happen. It happened. And I have come from, you know, a good family background, not saying that I was an angel by no stretch of imagination, but at least, you know, you had some values and you know what, you know, right from wrong. But, you have people. You have from coaches, from acquaintances, guys you might see at a dinner and say, hey, Mr. Rima, I met you. And, hey, I'd love for you to meet my friend. You'll have friends of friends. Just, hey, coaches in high school. Hey, I got a good guy I'd like for you to meet. And it's crazy, Joe. People don't understand. And they say, well, these guys got to keep their nose clean. They got to understand. You put a rooster in a hen house, that rooster ain't just going to sit around and just look at all the hens. He going to cluck, and he going to get busy. So you look at these young men, and you say, okay, they got to know better. You go give a guy $1,000 and you put it in an envelope and you say, here's $1,000. You think these guys are going to walk away from it?
They make it like it's such an easy transaction. It's just, there's no way to trace it. It's just, here's some cash.
Here's cash. Here's an envelope, a card, and you look at the card and all of a sudden hundreds are coming out. And you're like, wow. Okay, I'll meet with you. What do you do?
You played all 4 years at Fresno State, right? But after your junior year, could you have gone pro? Would you have been drafted?
I probably would have been drafted. Probably would have been in the later rounds. But, yeah.
Did you give it some thought?
No, because I was enjoying college. My dad, Big Glenn, wouldn't have let me.
But, okay, so what I'm getting at is, I always love that about you, by the way. But what I'm getting at is, you knew you had the future to play in the NFL.
Yes.
You knew, after your junior year, which means other people look at you and say, Lo Neal's got a future. Lo Neal's going to have some earning potential.
Sure.
They see dollar signs. So now in between that junior and senior year, they might be trying to get at you for their own personal gain. I want to represent you here. Yep. I can help you with this. We can do this. We can do that, right? They're trying to get at you.
Joe, without a doubt, I had my head coach, Jim Sweeney, may rest in peace. This guy brought me in his office and set me down and said, hey, Lo, I'm going to tell you, you might want to think about stop wrestling. He said, wrestling ain't going to pay you. You're going to make some money.
And Sweeney didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
Hey,
Lorenzo, come here. Hey, I need to talk to you. Hey, I got to talk to you
fantastic.
In a second. Hey, look. Hey, I know you're just a little from Lemoore and don't know much, but I'm going to tell you right now, these scouts are coming and asking about your black ass. Yeah. Hey, look, I don't care what you think. I'm not a racist. My father was a coal miner from Brute, Montana. You got it? Good. So I'd fight brothers. It didn't matter. I'll fight anyone. They're talking about you. Yeah, you. You can change it. You can give the Lily the Valley a first check. I mean, Coach went down to Lemoore.
Wow. That was really nice.
So he comes down to Lemoore when I'm getting ready to get drafted, and he comes to my church, and he sings, "Oh, when the Saints go marching in," because I got drafted the Saints, and he's talking about, "And when he sends his first check home," oh, he's got him going crazy. Jim Sweeney was amazing.
But he's giving you the heads up that some of these runners might be trying to get at you.
Absolutely. Hey, look, you better make sure you do the right thing, because these guys are going to try to get you. I got to have you next year. You better keep your butt in school.
So,
got it. Good.
Dibs, a young man coming out for a broadcasting career. Runners trying to give you envelopes full of cash.
Yeah, it didn't really happen that way, Joe. As a junior college tennis player, as I was trying to pick my four-year school to go to, not a lot of people running at me in the doubles alley. Nah, it didn't really play out that way.
Dibs, come here for a second. Got an envelope for you. There's nothing in here. That's the joke, Dib. No one cares.
There's $5. Go buy some tennis balls. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it, you know?
God, I wish you guys could have met Jim. Man, we got to find a tape where you guys can hear his voice. I sound just like him.
I believe it.
But you can see how the Dalvin Cooks of the world, a lot of these guys, one little, I don't even want to say slip up, but someone slides you a little bit of cash. These dudes come from nothing. When we're talking about Liberty City and Miami, we're talking about, I think it's called Brownstown. There are some really bad parts of Miami. Really bad parts. That's why when Howard Schnellenberger came in and took over the U in the early 80s, he put a huge map of the state of Florida up on the board, and he showed all his assistants, and he walked up with a marker, and he took a line right at Tampa Bay, middle of the state, yep, and just drew it straight across. And he said, everything south of this line is ours. That's how we're building our program. Miami has a ton of talent, but these kids, you've said it before about Ray, they got no other choice.
No question.
You have to make it as a pro, or that's the end.
And you know, if you can get a couple $1,000, you're in college and get a credit card, you freaking, they want every corner you turn, it's free applications, fill them out, and you get a credit card in college. And yeah, I kind of maxed mine out a couple times, so shoot, you get a couple bucks, you can pay it off. These guys, trust me, these different agents and these runners, they know who's getting drafted, they know what's going on. And so you got to realize, though, if a kid takes that money, it's that blood money, and they expect something. And so now you got to realize, maybe the guy sees another agent that's really a true, and he sits with the parents, and your parents say, you're going to go with this guy. All of a sudden now, these guys are like, they're going to go after you. They're going to try to blackball you. They're going to say, look, he took money. Think about if a guy takes money his junior year, and now he's getting ready to go into his senior year, and all of a sudden he gets wind that another agent's pursuing him, and then he's going to tell you, hey, look, if you don't sign with me, I'm gonna turn you in that you took money. I have records.
Hall of Fame segment right there from you. Hall of Fame segment. I'd like to get more into that in a bit. Next, you know who we're going to talk to? Dontrell Willis, the D-Train. We got to find out some stuff that's going on in MLB, but we'll also get his draft story as well, because that was a hot prospect coming out of the Bay. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
How'd the interview go from your perspective? Any incidents with fingers or toes or anything like that?
No, it was pretty good. It was just
Am I allowed to bring that up?
Oh, of course you
because
can.
Because you laugh at it, and I always find it funny because you've kind of opened the door to it. Because I have mistakes like that, too, in my career, and you just look at it, and what else can you do but laugh?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten much TV work since, so it gets less and less funny the more I think about it. But other than doing Melvin's games at SF State, which I love, but I haven't been asked back to do the state bowl games since I asked the coach if he was going to win one for the thumb, and he said, no, I only have four fingers.
Wow.
What are the odds of that low? Think about that for a second. One for the thumb is just it's a common phrase. It's something
expression.
You would use for the title.
Really?
It's one for the thumb.
Oh, yeah. They'd won four straight. I said, yeah. So, coach, final question. Guess this makes you all poised to come back and win one for the thumb. And he goes, well, I don't think so. And I only got four fingers.
And he put his hand up?
And he holds it up. And you see me in slow motion look
away?
At it.
Want to get away?
Totally, coach. I looked at his hand. I look at the camera. I look at his hand. I look at the camera. And I go, well, Steve, back to you. I think I've done all I can do here.
I believe we have the audio of that.
Oh,
let's go
God.
Ahead and play it.
Please. Please, no. Coach, congratulations, and I guess if things go your way, we'll see you back here. One for the thumb, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
Oh, my Jesus, you did.
Back to you, Steve. All right, Dibs, you can go ahead and show yourself out.
What did Steve do with that?
I think it's Steve Quiss, first of all, Southern California guy who I had just met. He's like, whoa, there's one you don't see every day. There's one for YouTube.
We needed that coach on the show. Okay, what did your boss
do? I'll show you
the
video.
You see how excited Lowe is right now? You see how excited he is by this?
What did the boss do, bro? What happened?
You could hear the laughter in the background of the truck. The place just fell out, and it's like, what are you going to do? You move on, and then... now they call Kate Scott for that job. So there you go. There you have it. Your boy's home now in December.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all good. It's the life we chose, right? Live TV, live radio. You're going to put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah, it happens.
You just, you eat a little shoe and then you move on.
The beauty of it is that you can look back and laugh and make jokes about it like that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny for all of us mostly, but it's great to see that you laugh at it as well. Like the situation, some of the best stuff you come across on TV will be like the Chris Berman behind the scenes, like when Boomer just loses his mind. I love that. I've watched that hundreds of times when he said it, because I could see myself doing it. When right before they go live,
oh, you can?
Everybody there is just, I know what you're trying to do.
I'm not.
But you've got him doing that. You've got O'Reilly flipping out on Fox News. I mean, those are just great moments. You look back, those guys were just completely angry, Dibs, with the one for the thumb. I can just see myself doing that. That's the phrase you would use. What are the odds you're going to throw yourself in a situation where the guy doesn't have a thumb?
How red did you get? I want to see that because you must
have
just
more red did you get?
Thank you. Wasn't too embarrassed, because that's the kind of thing that I think is hilarious. But
yeah.
I researched probably 20 hours for all the games I did, but I didn't do any research on whether or not the coach had five fingers. So now I know when you do a game like that, and Anna, you've been a sideline reporter for a number of years now, you do so much research on the kids, the school, the everything. But now it's going to be how many digits for the coach?
Yeah, note to self now for the future.
That's right. Yep. Fingers and toes,
Thank you for that advice.
Fingers and toes.
We have multiple requests on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line to play the Dibs situation again. Dibs, would it be okay if we played it one more time?
Let's go. I love it. Coach, congratulations, and I guess if things go your way, we'll see you back here. One for the thumb, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
There you have it.
That's classic.
You love it. You were sitting there. You've had a great day today. You've told some stories. You've reflected. You've interviewed Lo Neal at his finest. Here, you've been chilling. You're talking to D-Train.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting ready to jump back into some draft. And then this comes up. You're on the edge of your seat. I don't think I've ever seen you more excited.
I love it. I love it when it's not me being the butt of the joke. I mean, this guy tells a guy, Coach, you got everything going well for yourself. Now just one for the thumb. Guy looks at him.
I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
I got something else for you, Lo. You want to keep laughing?
Yes.
Here's Anna.
Hisashi Iwakuma threw a no-hitter against the Orioles.
Hisashi Iwakuma, yep.
Now, I can also see myself totally botching that. What I love is you realize you've reached a certain point and you're like, I got to get out of here. And you're like, I'm just going Iwakuma. And you nail it, and then you go on to finish the update like a pro. But like you can sense the moment where you realize, I'm not getting this first name. I'm just going to go last name and I'm out of here.
It was one of those moments where you're sitting there, you just can't get the word out. And it's just like a brain fart, basically.
Yeah.
You just don't know how to get it out. And then all of a sudden, all right, I'm just going to go.
How do you feel about that, though?
Keep going.
Would you like to hear that one again?
Please,
I think the fans would like to hear that again, please. Go ahead.
Not my friend anymore.
He's Iwakuma.
I sound like you're speaking in tongues, getting the Holy Ghost.
I'm surprised you didn't just go, F it, Iwakuma.
He's
on
sorry,
to the next one.
Iwakuma. I like that. That's very good.
I'm sorry.
I'm feeling better now. Thank you, Joe. Yeah,
that's what we do here.
That's what we do here.
In good fun, if there's something on me back there, dig it up. Because if I'm going to poke fun at everyone else at some point, we should probably balance it out in here. So take your time. I'm sure there's something. Run it by me first, though. Let's make sure it's not too bad.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, good point. Take your time back there. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game. We've got Travis Schlenk, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors, coming up at 8:45 today to talk about the next round of the playoffs. We've got more on the NFL draft at 8:30, but for right now, let's dive into the Raiders a little bit at pick 24. Interesting scenario for Reggie McKenzie and company, or should I say unique scenario, because the last 20 years, this team's found itself on the clock rather quickly. And now here we go at pick 24. You're actually sitting back chilling for a moment. So how do you see this position differing from the Raiders in the past? Because not so much last year with Carl Joseph in the middle rounds, but you've been at a point where Raider picks for years have been, we need a savior. We need a quarterback. We need a star wideout. We need something huge. This guy's going to change the fortunes. Now the mindset is, we need a starter who can come in and help this team because this is a good team. We could put it over the top. You look around the draft, some of these prospects, where do you see the silver and black going at 24?
Well, Joe, I tell you one thing. Offense, defensive line last year for the Raiders didn't play well. They played atrocious, and they understand that. So everyone's talking about, oh, they got to get a D-line. I think they will later in the draft, but I think it's going to be linebacker. You need somebody that can run downhill and make tackles on a consistent basis. I think they're going to look at the linebacker position very, very seriously. And the kid from Alabama may be slipping a little bit or falling. If he's there, they got to jump on this guy. If he slips that far, you got to jump on him. If he's not there, then you'll probably look at a secondary, maybe a corner, slot corner, guy that can cover in the slot, be able to cover a little shifty receiver. So you look there too as well. But I'm telling you right now, this defense, I continue to tell you guys, this defense is going to be immensely better with John Pagano. He's going to have these guys fitting. You're not going to see the blown coverages. You're not going to see guys out of position as much. This guy has came in to be that defensive type of guru to kind of help Ken Norton mentor this defense and get them better. So I think it's going to be linebacker, and then I think it'll be corner. Linebacker and corner, that is going to be the pick. Could be the Alabama kid, like I said, because he's slipping, and it could be Peppers, that you're, even though, you know, got some little things that's going on, he's still going to be there. Probably will be, I don't know if he's going to be there, but here's another guy in the secondary that can help you.
Hold on, I'm sorry. We have breaking news as it pertains to the draft. Let's go to Anna.
Giant 4-1 victory at AT&T thanks to a 3-run jack off of Brendan Hicks. Hate you.
Wow.
That was my first.
Anna, this is a family program.
Whoa, Anna.
3-run jack?
That was my first month.
One more time, whoa.
Play it again.
No.
Damn it,
Giant
play it
4-1
again.
Victory at AT&T thanks to a 3-run jack off of Brendan Hicks.
Now, in your defense, I love this one as well because that is absolutely the mistake I would make 10 times out of 10 in that situation. That's absolutely the mistake. You could see that one, right?
Yeah, I usually try to stay away from Jack, 3-run Jack, because then you got to talk about who off whom it was hit, right?
Yeah,
and
I like that.
It can be dangerous.
Nice tips.
Lo, this is a big moment for you, is
this
it not?
This is great.
This is the best segment
I'm
you've ever had.
I'm tired of being the butt of the joke. This is awesome. Keep them coming. This is
awesome. Like, who knew?
I got put that
going.
In there.
Keep going. I want more of those.
I don't know what happened.
I want more of those.
Sonaman who knew.
Yeah, we got not a noty. We got. I mean, we could fill a whole.
There's just so much. You got to be patient.
We pace ourselves.
There's best so record in spring training. Oh, is that me? All right. Hold on. Let's set it up properly. Go ahead. Hit it. Best record in spring training.
Which way did he go? Which
Tweety
way did he
bird.
Go?
I like that.
There is no spoon.
That's more
that was
also.
When I was trying to do some Matrix thing at one point. All right, let's space them out. Kinda let's not creepy. Overkill the audience here. Let's also try to focus more on Anna. If there's more on Anna back
thanks.
In there, we'd really appreciate
let him rip.
That.
Let him fly.
The fans love her. She's universally recognized as the most lovable person on this show.
She is.
What the hell were you talking
Yeehaw!
About? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
We're talking about the Raiders at 24.
I want you to keep your eye on something. The Raiders are sitting 24, right? And they're in pretty good shape as it pertains to their roster. Anyone know who's sitting 25? Houston Texans. What do the Houston Texans need? What are they rumored to be interested in?
Quarterback.
Boom. Knowing that, with the Raiders at 24, anyone who might want to leapfrog Houston to get in front of them for a quarterback pick who may still be on the board would want to call who?
The Raiders.
The silver and black. You know who you might want to watch for, and this would be interesting. Rival Kansas City. Andy Reid, Alex Smith. Look, let's be honest. Andy's done this before. Had Donovan McNabb use that second round pick on Kevin Cobb. Philly went nuts when that happened. Nuts. I remember there was no draft in Philadelphia in my entire life that had more controversy coming out of it than the Kevin Cobb pick. None. Not even Mike Mamula. That really worked out. But if Kansas City, what do you do if you're Reggie McKenzie and you've got Andy Reid and the Chiefs on the phone because they know Alex Smith, whether he's your guy or not, it's coming to the end of the line. There are only so many years left. And I think by now, anyone who knows Smith knows he's not a Super Bowl winner. Nice quarterback, not a great quarterback. He's not going to get you there. So maybe you want to look for his heir apparent. Maybe it's DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame. Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. Maybe it's Davis Webb from Cal. The point being, if Houston needs a quarterback at 25 and the Raiders are there at 24, if you're Reggie and you're getting ready to pick up that phone to phone in your pick and you get a call from Andy Reid possibly wanting to draft the quarterback you could be going against for the next decade if you screw this up, but he's offering you a bountiful package, what do you do?
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Left center field, hit well, still going, adios, Pedanta, the first home run for Christian Arroyo, and now it's a one-run game.
I mean, it just brought life to the bench. You know, you're down three, now you're down one, you know, and we were, I mean, just not doing anything offensively.
That's hit well, that's hit deep.
I was like, I hope I didn't strike out, and I'm just running around the bases. it was cool, man. It was just, not only for me, but I think for the team, it was a big moment.
Left field, tagging Hernandez. The catch, Bellinger's throw. The Giants have won it.
Lifeless in Colorado last weekend. The Giants came back, and last night were on the verge of being no hit. By Alex Wood. No hit. You're watching Johnny Cueto out there do all he can and thinking to yourself, Cueto's going to be gone. He didn't want to deal with this. And then sure enough, the kid, Christian Arroyo, second game, first career homer. And then Michael Morse gets called up and homers late. Wham, bam, thank you, man. Final in 10, Giants 4, Dodgers 3 dips.
And they've taken 2 of 3 in the series with the finale today. And, who was beating the drum of Michael Morse louder than me. I don't think anybody
loved
was. We talked about all these left field machinations with will it be Parker or will it be Marrero, and Parker gets hurt and Marrero gets sent and who's going to man the post. And I kept saying, keep your eyes on the long-haired AAA kid, and Michael Morse gets called up and now he's a hero again.
How long do you think they can ride this emotion? Because with Arroyo coming up for game one against the Dodgers, didn't get a hit, but then 2 nights ago gets his first hit against Kershaw. Last night gets his first home run. Now Morse. Clearly there's an injection of life, a shot of adrenaline to this clubhouse. How long can they maintain this, though?
I think it can be maintained short-term with Morse, but long-term with Arroyo, because he's the real deal. You see him in the batter's box and you see him over at third base. He already looks pretty comfortable. He doesn't look awed by the moment. Morse is going to be hit and miss, but if you have that bat on the bench at the very least and a great clubhouse presence, that could last for a long time as well. And don't look now, Joe, this Giants team not ready to dip off into the offseason just yet.
Now, most of you probably think that the excitement in last night's game at AT&T Park was taking place on the field. You would be grossly mistaken. Arroyo, forget about it. Morse, forget about it. Cueto, forget about it. Intern Melvin, all 7 feet of him, was at the game last night. Dibs, you cannot great slip job. Anything past the wily veteran, gets a screenshot of Melvin in a Dodger hat down at the stadium. Now, let's just slow everything down, and we're going to start with Dibs here. You're watching the game with the kids last night.
Yep.
You started a phenomenon on social media with this. Take me through it.
Well, I'm watching the game, and some fan makes a great play out in right field on a foul ball. And I love the way NBC Sports, NBC Bay Area, whoever had the game last night, I love the way they cover the game because they really hone in on great fan experiences and fan interactions. This fan makes a great play. They show it again, and when they show it again, in the background is this gigantic lurch-like figure, and out of the corner of my eye, I say, you gotta be bleeping kidding me. That is our very own Ryan Williams, a.k.a. Melvin. So I rewound it, watched it again, and I said, I gotta pause and click to make sure that you and Lo are both aware that our guy's on TV. But wait, not only is he on TV, but atop his head, and I can barely see it because his head rises into the clouds.
What's real
atop
big
of
his head? Real big head.
Dodger hat.
What?
A flipping Los Angeles Dodger hat. I'm thinking, you know what? This will not fly. It's been a good run for Melvin. It's been a nice little internship, but it is all over.
Now, with that story on the record, we bring Melvin into the program. Melvin, welcome. Is this the first time you've ever been on air?
Ever.
Ever?
Ever, yeah.
Tell the people your name. What's your real name?
Ryan Williams.
It's spelled like Ryan Sandberg, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was named after Ryan Sandberg.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Is it Ryan or Ryan?
Ryan.
The second one.
The second one.
I always wondered that. I was just a It's Melvin for all intents and purposes. don't come on the air and start telling me it's not Melvin. All right. How did he get the name Melvin? By the way, is that a low special?
Of course, locabulary.
Hey, the guy's in here, 7 foot. You know, he's got the hockey look, missing tooth, and he's got this big
guy's
look.
A gamer.
He's a gamer. He shoots the three, and I'm like, what's his name? And I forgot it was Ryan. You know, I'm just like, so I go with.
And
Melvin.
We know that every now and again, you might. Yeah, that name might slip past you.
Absolutely. So I went with Melvin.
Coach.
Melvin,
come on, coach.
Okay, so.
His dad got mad at me, by the fact. Text me on the text line. I will call you Lewis until you stop calling my son Melvin.
Fair. I'm okay with that as well. Melvin, you're 7 feet. You play basketball where?
San Francisco State.
What year are you in?
I'm going to be a fourth year, but I redshirted.
Redshirted, so okay. And how much do you weigh right now at 7 feet?
250 about.
Have you been trying to put more weight on to kind of thicken up that frame a little bit?
Yeah, I put on 30 pounds last summer, and I'm probably going to hope to put on 20 more this summer.
Doing what?
Just eating.
Eating what?
Well, I'll tell you,
if you're going to tell me food, I'm going to throw you out of the studio.
If you look at the picture I put on Twitter, he's clearly eating. I don't know if that's a cheesesteak or a hot dog.
Oh, that was one of those crab sandwiches.
Okay, so now you had a crab sandwich down at the ballpark last night.
Got to have one of those. Those things are delicious. Now take us
to the big moment. You're wearing a Dodger hat. Yes. Dibs got upset. He started a viral storm on this. I was trying to write a story last night. I was trying to ease into today. It's going to be a long day with the draft show and everything. Dibs sends this picture out on Twitter, my social media. Is blowing up. What are you doing down there? Are you trolling or are you a Dodger fan?
No, I'm from LA, born and raised in SoCal. So, you know, got to rep the hometown team.
But you're named after a Chicago Cub. And let's be fair, where you're from is really almost tweener country, right? Up there in Castaic.
It's tweener. It's northern.
Job, Dibs.
Northern, I'm keeping it real.
Northernmost LA County.
Keep going.
Northernmost LA County, just about at the border. But yeah, you know, I grew up listening to Vin Scully, you know, watching lots of Dodger baseball. So, got to root for the hometown team.
Do you get any grief when you go to AT&T Park wearing a hat like that?
Nah, nobody's going to mess with a 7-footer.
Whoa.
Nobody's going to mess with a 7-footer.
7-footer who shoots threes. It's not like you get underneath the basket and throw elbows around.
See, but I don't walk around saying I shoot threes, Joe.
That's true. That's a good point. You're pretty good on air. Do you feel comfortable right now for your first time?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Were you nervous at all when I told you back there earlier that you were going to be coming on air?
No, because I talk with you guys in the mornings. I talk with you guys before the show, so I feel pretty comfortable running.
And I treat you well. You must admit. Thank you.
Except for the Melvin.
You don't even know his name. What do you mean you treat him well?
Call me Melvin.
Yeah.
Coach.
And is he...
Lewis.
This leads us into a natural progression. Would he be on Mount Melvin more?
No, especially not after he... First of all, he goes to school in San Francisco now. So at the very least, if you don't want to rep the orange and black, you got to put the blue and white away.
Fair assessment.
You look good in the purple. Mm. Shout out the Gators. SF State, they had a great year this year. Real proud of my alma mater. But when it comes to representing this show, you're a public figure now, Melvin. When you're out there representing Jolo and Dibs, you can't be showing up in Dodger gear. I'm always watching, young man.
Fair point. You don't see me walking around in a Phillies hat.
You don't.
You're right.
So where's he on the Melvin list? Go through some Melvin.
Well, there's Bob Melvin. He's on Mount Melvin. Oh, yeah.
What about Intern Moore? Is there a Mount Intern Moore?
Yeah, and it's sadly, some of our former interns have already weighed in on that.
Oh, the one guy who broke the camera and then got thrown. Remember that guy? Oh. That guy's on Mount Criminal Intern Moore.
First of all, Melvin in the blue notes is definitely on Mount Melvin Moore. Bo Mel, who joins us every...
Yeah, of course, Bo Mel.
Thursday, is it? Friday?
Monday.
Monday.
Bo Mel on Monday.
Yeah, these days.
Mount Monday Moore.
They blend together. So, yeah, you're not quite on Mount Melvin Moore.
Anna, did you go to San Francisco State?
Yes, I did.
How do you feel about one of your own disrespecting the Giants the way Melvin has, going down to AT&T Park wearing that hat?
You know, I will give him this, though. The fact that he's still repping his team, it's a little uncomfortable because he's at San Francisco State, but he's staying true to his colors.
He's loyal.
So I can't fault him for that.
Melvin, is there anything you'd like to say before you go? Would you like to atone?
I would definitely not like to atone.
That's the right answer. You got to stand up for your team. As much as it may aggrieve Giants fans to see you down there wearing that hat, the fact that you are loyal and truthful, that stands for something. That means something.
Thank you.
Someone said, hey.
Get the hell out of my studio.
Said, hey,
I did love.
They're killing him. 7 foot.
They're eating crab sandwiches.
Hey, roasted me on Twitter. Roasted me on the text line. I'm just getting roasted.
Dibs really. You got to wake up early in the morning to slip something past the Wiley veteran.
If any of you guys to catch that, it would only be only be Dibs.
Melvin, on
only.
Behalf of all of us here with Jolo and Dibs, put an egg in your size 19 quadruple E shoe and beat it. Thank you.
Thank you, Melvin. You can go ahead and turn his mic off. That's plenty of air time for him.
What a debut.
He did a really nice job, though. The young man, he was composed on air. He's got a future in the industry. He's got a future in the industry.
And he is on Mount 7 Foot Intern More. So just be clear. Of all the 7 Foot interns we've had, he's definitely among the top four.
Yeah, he would definitely be amongst the top four. I would give him that. I was really trying to do the analysis there, and I thought to myself, you know what? He does slide in. Late in the first round, he slides in.
I thought you guys told Melvin he could leave.
He can't go.
I don't know why he's still hanging out here. Why don't you physically do something about it? No, he was good. Thank you, Melvin. You did a nice job. If you could go back to finding the cheapest tickets for Canelo Alvarez and Chavez, I'd appreciate it.
Right in Nemo.
Coach. Oh, you're going to be there, Coach.
Well, I'm going to be down there for a bachelor party next weekend, so.
Oh, good for you.
Might as well put the interns to work.
Attaboy.
I can't believe how expensive. Well, I tried to figure out why it was so expensive. The cheapest ticket to go see that fight is like $400. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. And then you realize two very popular Mexican fighters.
Yeah.
The Mexican fan base, huge in that area. They love their boxing. I mean, Argentina will show up when Maidana fights there. So when you have Mexican fighters, the passion for those guys, especially Alvarez, who's been anointed by Oscar De La Hoya, they're going to show up. So it's a hot ticket to get.
Seem like you should use one of your badges and just like freaking walk in to join.
But then I'm kind of like leaving everyone at the bachelor party out of the equation, and people already, by and large, dislike me enough. Yeah, you got to try to fit in and be a nice person.
You're very true there.
Yeah. All right. That's a great segment. Thank you, Melvin. Thank you, Dibs, for being so diligent last night. That was a job well done.
Always working, Joe.
We've got the NFL draft to get into next. If you are just joining us, or if you're in the future and you're about to join us, huge news as it pertains to pick number one and what that could mean for the San Francisco 49ers. We are back in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. 95.7 The Game.
Coach. Coach.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yesterday morning. Welcome back. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He coached Marshawn Lynch in California. He was also the offensive coordinator at Fresno State when the great Lo Neal was playing there. And he's now the current head coach at Fresno State, Jeff Tedford, with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, first off, good morning and thank you for your time. About a half hour ago, Lo was telling us a story of his draft day back in 93, fourth rounder to New Orleans, and said, you know what, guys? I would have been a first rounder if Tedford had given me more carries. True or not?
Yeah, that figures.
Don't let him put a wedge between us, Coach. Don't let him put a wedge between us.
Yeah, he never carried the ball anyway. He was the lead blocker for all those guys, and he was phenomenal with it. He was a great player.
How's everything going in the transition back at Fresno State? Lowe's been hyping you for a while. There's a lot of excitement here in the Bay Area for the rise to prominence of the Bulldogs. How's it been with recruiting and everything getting back into the saddle there?
It's been great. A lot of energy in the city. We've practiced 13 times so far. Two left here. We have our spring game on Saturday. It's been great. It really has. The players are excited. They're working really hard. We've made a lot of progress through the spring, and it's just great to be home. It really is. It's like a time machine coming back, and Fresno's a special place. I'm really happy to be here.
Coach, you know a thing or two about building. You're building Cal, a program that was kind of, you know, when you got it, you had to take over and help build a stadium. All the different transitions that you have to go, you know, had to go through. What makes that so unique now and doing the same thing again in Fresno? And what made your time in Cal so appreciative here, too? Because a lot of fans still love you. A lot of families want to know where you're at and what you're doing. So how has that transition been, the two places?
Well, Lo, there's a lot of similarities, really, you know, because, you know, you go into a place that's passionate about football, and both at Cal and here, and had some down years. And so you know, you take over a program that only won one game back at Cal, and the first thing is to build the trust and confidence of the players, because nobody likes to go through those situations. And we were really fortunate to do it there. We had a lot of great players, like you guys were talking about, Marshawn and Aaron Rodgers and DeSean Jackson and so on and so forth, just a lot of great players. And we're able to really build that thing and do some special things there, and eventually the stadium, which they'll be able to enjoy for the next 100 years. So a lot of great memories there, but a lot of the same things here, in that They won one game last year, so there's some work to be done. But the players are really excited about what we're doing. The number one thing besides the players is surround yourself with a great staff. And I feel like we've done that here. I think that's imperative and to create the right culture and environment for success and in all areas, not just on the football field, but academically and socially. And so it's been a great spring so far. And we're going to finish up here strong and look forward to the season.
We wish you the absolute best down there. Jeff Tedford joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Marshawn Lynch, your former player, now an Oakland Raider. What should Raider Nation look forward to as far as his drive and his work ethic, even though it's kind of late in his career now, Coach?
Well, I think it's pretty evident what he has done, with his days in Seattle. He's a special back. There's no doubt about it. I was worried about him his last couple of years just because of how physical he plays and the pounding that he takes. And because he doesn't go down. And that was one of the same things at Cal. I mean, he used to have the whole defense piled on his back and he'd still be on his feet. And it's like, hey, man, you got to go down at some point, you know. But he runs so hard and so physical. But now he's had a little break. And, you know, his roots run really deep in Oakland. And he has a true passion for that city. And so for him to come back, because he doesn't need to, he's done an awesome job of branding himself and being really successful in business. So he has a passion to come back. And I think a lot of that is surrounded with the name Oakland.
Jeff Tedford, head coach Fresno State with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I want to stick right there for a moment. You had him at Cal. He played his football at Berkeley. He grew up in Oakland. The fact that he is now a Raider, how much do you think this means to him? Because like you said, it's not necessarily about the money. The opportunity to play for the team you grew up watching, what do you think that means to him?
I think it means everything. I don't know the whole story. I haven't talked to him lately, but I would venture to say that he probably wouldn't have come back if it wasn't Oakland. And that's how much Oakland means to him. And he always had that going a family first, and it was really about the people in Oakland. And he always wanted to keep a strong connection to Oakland. He does his charity events in Oakland. He does a lot of things for the kids in Oakland. So I don't think there was any need for him to come back except for the pride to play in his hometown or for his home team.
Coach, were you the one that got coaches that brought the cart out for him to drive around? That's one. And two, how was it trying to recruit guys like that, like the Aaron Rodgers? What would coaches, I know a lot of listeners here want to know if the Aaron Rodgers going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot when he decides to hang it up. What goes into that process when you know that people are wanting these guys, or also guys that people aren't, they're not really wanting them? And what do you see to be able to identify talent and players that can be going to be great?
Well, first off, no, I didn't set up that cart. That wasn't planned, but he had scored a touchdown in overtime against Washington to win. And, I'm over there shaking the other coach's hand. I look over and see Marshawn driving around the field. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was awesome to see a kid showing school spirit and getting involved until I got a call the next day from the AD saying, don't do that anymore. But he was having fun. And, it was nice to see him having fun. As far as the recruiting piece is concerned, I think every individual is unique in that way. Marshawn was a kid that I think staying home was big to him, the people around him, hence the whole Oakland Raider thing. He wanted to take a couple trips just because, he had never been anywhere before. And he told me, I said, do I have your word that you're coming? And he said, yeah. And so he took, I think, one trip and he came back and said, okay, I'm done with that. So I think family and friends and people around him there was very important to him, and obviously did a great job. And then, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who was just totally under the radar, kind of fell into him watching a tight end on tape, looking for a tight end, and said, who's the quarterback here? He'd only been in JC for 1 year, and so we were able to go up there and watch him practice and felt like he not only had great skills, but he had the leadership qualities. You could just tell how people, his teammates, gravitated toward him. And he was a really special guy. So, I think, you talk about the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's he's the premier guy in the league just because of all he can do, not just with his arm, but with his legs. You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks, but I think the whole package with Aaron, I think, sets him above. And I think what he's done so far in the NFL is pretty special.
Coach Tedford, that's how you found Aaron Rodgers? You were watching tape of a tight end?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. Garrett Cross was a tight end. We were looking for a tight end and watching him and noticed the quarterback was doing some pretty special things and called the recruiting coach in from that area and said, you know, who's the quarterback? And he was only a freshman, so nobody really knew about him because it wasn't really his time to be recruited yet. And if you're a qualifier coming out of high school, you can leave after 1 year. So we found that out. And then Coach Rigsby up at Butte was kind enough to let us recruit him because we're taking his best player away a year early. And so he was kind enough to let us recruit him. And the rest is history. He made a pretty big impact on our program for sure.
Does it ever feel to you like he's treated unfairly with the media over the last few years? Because this is a guy that not only is performing at a ridiculously high level, but he, by all accounts, appears to be a good teammate, good guy in the community, likable. Yet there are always these stories where it feels like people are trying to cut Aaron Rodgers down.
You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I don't pay much attention to that. I think Aaron did a phenomenal job in the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron, you know, because that's a difficult situation to be in. And I thought Aaron handled that really professionally. And, you know, and that's a hard thing to take over for a legend like Brett Favre and the expectation levels. And besides that, you know, in the latter years, I don't really know. I don't read those articles or anything, but I know Aaron's a very gifted guy. He's a very focused guy on team. He's a perfectionist, as all those great ones are. And so, you know, you can never please everybody, you know, so it's his demands and things, you know, he leads a different life than a lot of people because the demands are just so high on him. And he came to Cal one time and we're sitting in there talking and a group came by taking a tour and wanted to break down the door to get to him, you know, so he's a very popular guy and you know, so, but he's popular, but a private guy, you know? And so I think he does his best to keep that side of himself, you know, away from the public.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you for your time here at 95.7 The Game's Joe and Dibbs there. And we really appreciate who you are as a man and as a person. Go Dogs. Go get them.
All right, Lo. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.